And Father God, I thank you and I praise you for tonight. I thank you for this opportunity to hold this miracle revival for you. And Father, you've already started work through praise and worship. And Father, I'm asking you to complete the works. Let the people be changed, Father God, and rearranged higher into your glory than what they were before they came out. And Father, this is your service. We give you full, total, complete rule and reign over this service tonight. You do what you do best, Father, and that's minister to your people. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to, if you notice, we have little flames over your head. And we're going to talk about the Father's glory. The fire of God is an attribute of God. And when God started out with this, I got to thinking about the years that God's been calling down the fire upon us, but we haven't yet received the fire in all of its fullness. And I'm believing that by the time you leave here tonight, you will have the fire in all of its fullness. That's why it's hanging over your head, so that it's going to come at you through the word, and it's going to be over your head. And the anointing is in the atmosphere. I had Brother Adam blow it through the atmosphere before we came. So we're just surrounded with this fire of God. Amen. And God's Shekinah glory. God had showed me today that, this morning, that we needed to pray for the Shekinah glory to be here tonight. And so I quickly get on the computer and send out word that we need to be praying for the Shekinah glory. So and that's God's very presence. His Shekinah glory is his very presence. What we're headed into is so great and so wonderful that we're going to need all that God's going to be teaching us this week. We're going to need that so we can go forth and do the mighty works that God is telling us to do. A lot of you that were here last night, you got very good prophetic words, I believe. Were you all pleased with your words? You know, sometimes God gives us directions, and along with the directions, he gives us a little chastisement, and, you know, and he lets us know where we're at with him. And I think that's powerful and wonderful. And what you need to do is you get the words from God. You need to take them with you, home with you, and you need to study them so you know what God is calling you forth to do and exactly where you're at. So God is calling his children to be glory carriers. By the time we're finished here, you will be a glory carrier. If you're really sincere and honest with God, you will be one that God places his glory in, and you will carry it wherever you go. His glory is a natural outpouring of a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit. You have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit in order to be a glory carrier. So if you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I would be quickly getting one. You know, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman, and he's not going to stay where he's not wanted. And if I was you every day, I would just tell him, just Holy Spirit, just come and consume me. Just stay with me all day and lead God and direct me. Amen? That's what his job is. The glory of God is his resurrection power. Remember, God said he's going to resurrect those things that were dead in you. He's going to resurrect them and bring them back to life. I think we all need the resurrection power. I believe with all the warfare we've been in the past 10 years, that God needs to resurrect some things that the enemy has just about stomped into the ground. And so if I was you, I'd be saying, God, resurrect in me whatever the enemy has stolen from me. And you know, some of us, he has stolen a lot. All right, now we need it back. God has chosen to dwell with his people and manifest his presence. These are all things, the things that God told me as I was putting this together. God has chosen to dwell with his people and manifest his presence. So you who are coming out to these meetings, God desires to dwell with you. And he wants to manifest himself to you in ways he's never manifested himself before. There are things that God couldn't do before, but now God can do them. And one of the things is manifest Jesus in his fullness. Our Second Chronicles 7, verse 1 says, Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. so that when he was finished praying, the fire came down and then the glory. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And as I was typing that scripture, I thought about when we had revival all the time, you know, just constant revival in here, the people couldn't walk through the door, that they would be slain in the spirit. We'd have to move them out of the doorway so others could come in. The ones that were totally submitted to God and had his presence are the ones that were consumed by the fire as they come through the door. Those were exciting times, but the times we're going into is even more exciting because God has been revealing to me that right now, through this glory, we are going to do the greater works. And he showed me, you know, I've told you, he showed me before that we ended one 40-year dispensation. Now we're starting in another 40-year dispensation. And in this dispensation, the greater works is what we're going to be doing. So we don't want to go back to where we were. We want to move forward to do the greater works. I'm not even going to go into that because it's so fantastic what the greater works are, but I'm going to stay on this thing that God's having us on now. All right? Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar. You're talking about the Israelite children. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. And I was reading about that, you know, in the expository, and it says that the pillars were angels carrying the fire. It was the angels that were going before and behind. And what has God been telling us? The angels are here now, and we need to place them on assignment so they can keep us covered and even do warfare for us. The fire of God is a fire of love, purity, and power. And we need his fire every day of our lives. Now, remember, we have to, if we're going to be glory carriers, we have to carry the attributes of God. So the fire of God is a fire of love. You have to have the attribute of love, of purity, and power. So you have to have those attributes working in you. And then I said we need his fire every day of our lives. Did you know there is a fire of love that burns for you? God has a fire of love that burns just for you individually. Did you know that God's heart burns with a blazing love for you? God truly does love you. You might not be able to love yourself, and you might even believe that you've been so bad that God can never love you, but that is not true. Did you know there is a fire of love that burns for you? Did you know that God's heart burns with a blazing love for you? A love that never changes, a love that remains. God's love does not change. A love that is waiting to turn your life upside down. Ask God for his fire. Tonight, I said, ask God for his fire. As you're sitting there, I want you to ask God, God, as I'm sitting here this night, I need your fire. Ask him for this blaze of his love. Make it the most important prayer of your life. Father, give me your blazing fire of love. Let me be filled with that fire. As you're going through trials and tribulations, if you really and truly have this blazing fire of love from God in you, you will be able to go through your tribulations without it affecting you. If you receive this fire in your heart, which is the burning love of God, you will change and reach the world. If you receive this fire in your heart, which is a burning love of God, you will change and reach the world. The reason why a lot of Christians are not reaching the world is because they do not have this fire of God in their heart. They're not ablaze with the fire and the love of God, and they just go in their own strength, and they are not being true witnesses for Christ. The fire is stronger than death. The fire is more beautiful than life itself. This fire is more intense than anything that exists. Ask God for his fire because he will give it to you. Without the fire of God, you live without true life, without passion. And God told me to have you people ask him for these things as I'm teaching them to you, and you will receive them. So you see, it's up to you. Do you truly believe and trust that God's going to give them to you, or do you think he won't? I wouldn't be telling you he was going to give that to you if he didn't say he would. So ask for it. Without the power of God, you have religion. You have human wisdom derived from the Bible and insights that appear to be godly, but which do not result into the power of God. In other words, all you have is your Bible that you're reading, and you're just reading the Word, and then you're going out and speaking what you read. There's no fire of God in you, so there's no power behind that Word. All right. It is empty. Your words are empty. It sounds nice, but it doesn't change lives. It doesn't heal the sick. It doesn't set the possessed free. It doesn't help the suffering. If you go without the fire of God, you are no effect to anybody. A couple years back, maybe about six, I said, God, you're going to have to do something in the church because the Word is not changing the people. They come in one way and leave the same way. God, I've done all I know to do. I've done everything you've told me to do, but the people are not changed. And what he said to me was, they need my glory. I did teach about the glory, but even then it didn't change. And why didn't people change? Because we didn't have the real revelation of what the glory truly was. And see, then was not the time for God to give me that revelation. Now is the time for him to give me the revelation of what the true glory of God is. Because now is when God is fulfilling everything his word has spoken. The fire of God burned intensely in Jesus Christ. The fire of God changed Jerusalem into a place of fire on the day of Pentecost. Remember when they were in the upper room? What was placed in each one's head? Tongues of fire. So the fire of God changed Jerusalem into a place of fire on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Let me stop there. Remember when we had revival all the time for all those years, people would actually say that there was fire up on the roof. They could see fire from a distance as they was coming to the church. And that's why when people walked through the door, because God was dwelling here, and that's when my people walked through the door, the anointing hit them, and they were slain in the Spirit. And I would really love for God to just place that tongues of fire on each one of us in here tonight and totally and completely change us like they were changed on the day of Pentecost. And remember what happened after they got the tongues of fire? All those peoples were saved at one time, and then went from door to door, and everybody got saved. Why? Because God had dropped his fire and his glory upon those people. I think it was 120 in the upper room. This is what God is doing today. You know, he keeps saying we're going to have this great harvest of souls. We cannot have this great harvest of souls without that fire. The only way we get that, to get the glory, is with the fire. Let this sink deep into your spirit, man, tonight. How far do you want to go with God? All right, I've lost my place. The fire of God lightens up. All right, the fire of God lightens up the hearts of people worldwide, and it changes them more than anything else. Jesus baptizes us in the fire of God. Now, John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, when Jesus comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The blazing fire of God's love captures your heart and sets you on fire for the salvation of other people. Remember, there we were doing baptisms in our pool. The people would say, some would say, there's fire everywhere. And I didn't even realize what they were saying at that given moment. But what they were saying, the Holy Spirit fell with the tongues of fire upon them. And the people were changed when they came out of the baptism. If I don't see a change in the people, I know the baptism didn't sink. And so we really encourage people to linger and let the Holy Spirit truly change them. It isn't the idea just go and get dunked. The idea is to go be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and be changed. And carry that fire with you wherever you go and change other people's lives. Ask God for his fire. Take time to be filled with the fire of God, which has more power than anything else. Love is a fire from the Lord. See, this really basically is about love. If we don't have love, we have no foundation. He'll continue to tell you that till the day he takes you on home. He wants us to make sure we keep our love walk purified. So I said, love is a fire from the Lord. It is stronger than death, according to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3:22 says, a steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Right there, it tells me that if I'm a sinner and I have sinned and I feel like I have sinned so bad that God can't forgive me, it tells me right there that's not true. This is a year that the prodigals are coming home. Those who knew God and then backslid are going to come home. And sometimes when people know God and they backslide and they really get into deep sin, they feel like there's no way back. But there's always a way back because Jesus is always waiting with open arms. He has a steadfast love for you that never ceases, and he's always waiting for you to come on home. He's just waiting to hear your voice, and he's saying, welcome home. He brings you into his loving arms, and he holds you tight, and he tells you everything's going to be okay. Just stay in his arms. So love is a fire, a love that consumes what is evil, love that moves like a whirlwind of compassion and commitment, love that makes you real. The fire of God takes off the mask. Fire cleanses. Fire burns away your self-fabricated image. Fire humbles you. Fire strips away your fabricated clothes, consumes the dirt, and leaves you cleansed and free so Jesus can clothe you with his humble garments. Fire is what we need. Ask for the fire of God. Do it. Take the time right now and ask God, God, I need this fire that takes off my mask. I need this fire that cleanses. I need this fire that burns away my self-fabricated image. I need this fire that humbles me. I need the fire that strips away my fabricated clothes and consumes the dirt and leaves me cleansed and free so Jesus can clothe me with his humble garments. I need your humble garments, Lord. I need to be totally and completely set free. You need to understand you will never reach the people who are lost with words alone. In the flesh, we can itch people's ears, but that will not take them to heaven. It's not going to set them free. Some think the more head knowledge they have, the more power they have, but that is not true. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. God, let me see something. You know, these great big churches who have thousands of people in them. The pastors love God. The people love God. And, you know, he's showed me the small churches who don't have many people, but they have the zeal and the fire of God, are more blessed than your big churches. And I hope one day, God told me one day I'd have a big church, but I hope I do. But if I never do, he said, your smaller churches are truly blessed by me. Amen. And God's word says, do not despise small beginnings. So if you're in small beginnings for 40 years, keep on loving the Lord. Amen. Because he's going to bring his promises to pass in our yes and amen. I can't hardly deal with the little few I do have, let alone 1,000. And I'm not going to ask for more gray hair. I just say, thank you, God, that you're able. Right? Love is as a fire that burns right through the harness of self-defense. You know, some people put up this big brick wall round about them and they're not going to let anybody come through it. But God's love, believe me, God's love does break down brick walls that we have built around our hearts. It really does. I know because it's broke down the wall I had built when I became born again. God is so good and he loves us so desperately and completely. He's just waiting for your time of freedom when you cry out to God. Love makes ice cold pride melt. People that are built up with pride, love can melt that pride. The body of Christ needs this love. Without it, you are empty. Without it, you do not have what God wants you to have. The body of Christ needs this love. Without it, you are empty. Without it, you do not have what God wants you to have. God spoke to me a couple of years ago about the virgins. He said that there are virgins in the house of God that are guilty, like the 10 virgins, 5 had oil and 5 didn't. So the virgins who had the fire of God, the virgins had their beautifully polished Christian oil lamps with them, but only a few of them also had the oil that could make the fire burn. You have your temple, but you don't have any oil in your temple, and therefore you can't have the fire of God is not in you burning. Well, you think about that. Matthew 25, verse 1 says, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. In other words, if you're wise, you're going to stay full of the oil of joy and the oil of God, and you're going to be overflowing. But then the 5 virgins said to the 5 wise virgins, they said, give us some oil. And they said, no, go back and get your own. In other words, you're going to have to work to get the Holy Spirit alive within you. You're going to have to work to have that anointing within you. Don't try to ride on somebody else's skirt tail, because it's not going to work. So my question to you is your oil lamp empty? Right now, ask for the oil so your fire can burn. Right now, ask God, fill me full of oil so my fire can burn. With this fire, you will enlighten others as well. Love is action. Love is real. And love is God. Ask for the fire. Love is action. Love is real. And love is God. Then I have a little bit of repentance I wrote down here. Father, forgive us that we are so busy with our own things and ignore you. Father, forgive us that we do things our own way without being led by your Spirit. Father, forgive us that we so easily talk about you but run the other way really fast when you approach us with your fire and love, power and passion. Forgive us, Lord. In other words, you're very content to sit in the house of God just sitting. But when God says, I need to use you and I need to change and rearrange you, I need to cleanse the filth out of the inside of you, you run from God because you're not quite ready to give up that junk that's inside that's hindering you from moving on with God. So what happens? He doesn't give you any fire. He still loves you, but he doesn't give you any fire. Father, you are life, you are love, and you are pure fire, real fire. Change us, Lord. Need to ask God right now, God, just change me. I don't want to be the same old dirty person I was when I walked through the doors. When I walk out of those doors, I want to be cleansed. I want to be purified, and I want to be right in your eyes. Just help me, Lord, to be an example of who Jesus was. Then I put down, take our words away and give us fire. Take our intellect away, so to speak, and make us like children who live in you. You know, take our words away and give us fire. If you're trying to save people, you won't have to say, if you're full of the fire, the love fire of God, you won't have to say anything. They will be drawn to that love that's in you. They'll be drawn to that fire. And then as they watch you walk and watch you stay full of the fire and the love of God, then they themselves will change. They'll want to be just like you. They'll want to be purified. They'll want to be out of their den of sin and out of their pain, their heartache and their tears. I wrote down, make us real, Lord. Burn through our pride and defenses with your consuming fire. Make us real, Lord. Make us blaze with your fire, Lord. Baptize us, Father, in the eternal fire of your love. And this is what God wants to do tonight. He wants to baptize you with his fire of eternal love. He wants to baptize you in his fire of love so that you will never, ever, ever again go back into the worldly ways. That you'll be able to love the unlovable that you're going to come across. That you're going to be able to forgive those who have despitefully used you and persecuted you. You won't think of what they did to you. All you'll think about is how they're hurting, and that's why they did what they did. Too many of the body of Christ Right away you want to judge and condemn and ridicule. So if that's you, then you don't really have the fire of God in you, because if somebody's coming against you, you'll say, "Forgive them, Father, for they really don't know what they're doing." And then you understand that within them there's so much pain and heartache and tears that they're lashing out, but they don't know how to get free from what's inside. And if you have the true fire love of God, you'll be able to consume that junk that's in them, because God said that when we walked into the room, the demons would flee from the people. So if during this Father's glory, if you can get this love of fire that God has, you'll be one of those vessels that carry the glory. And wherever you go, the enemy's just going to jump right out of the people. Are you understanding this? Pray for the fire of God all your life. In other words, if you pray today but never again, you are like a flame that flickers a while but is quenched or put out by the cares of life. Every day we need new fire. Every day. Some of you are being tormented by the demonic forces of hell all the time, and what you need is that new fire from God that will purge and cleanse and send those demons fleeing. The cares of life every day, I'm sorry. If you pray today but never again, you are like a flame that flickers a while but is quenched or put out by the cares of life. Every day we need new fire. The world is seeking fire. The world is seeking love and authenticity. The world is seeking passion, answers, and hope. They want to see something real. They don't want to see something fake. They don't want you walking around acting like you're all that and then some, like you never have any problems. They want to see the real you that suffers just like they do, the real you that goes through the trials and the tribulations and temptations like they do. But the difference is you have the fire of God in you, and you don't give in to those temptations. See, they see that too. They can see where you're bombarded on all sides, and they can't figure out why you don't rebel back, but they don't understand that you're the fire of God in you, and that's what keeps you on a steady keel. You understand this tonight? The world is seeking that the power that frees and heals and delivers from the swamps of darkness. You know, people don't want to come into the house of God because they don't see that in the house of God. When they walk in the house of God, they see as much sin in the house of God as they do where they came from. But the world is seeking the power that frees and heals and delivers from the swamps of darkness. If you're going to emanate Jesus Christ, then you're going to have the heart of compassion that Jesus had. You're going to have long suffering, which is patience. And God worked with us for a season about patience. You're going to have to be able to endure the hardships. You know, somebody might never have known Jesus, but you have known Jesus, and God places you together or in their presence, and you get, instead of you bringing them up where you are, you don't have the fire of God in you, even though you know God, and what happens is they bring you down to their level. And God always told me from when I was born again, he said, "Daughter, never allow anybody to bring you down to their level. You bring them up to your level in me." And I've always remembered that, and that's the way I live. I never allow the enemy to bring me down to his level. Sometimes I like to get down there and kick him to death, but my job is to bring people up to where Jesus is. The fire of God in the Bible, Matthew 3:11 says, John the Baptist says, "I baptize you with fire for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." You know, the Bible teaches us we should baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when I was first born again, I always went to church, but I came born again in the 70s. And I never seen the likes of people arguing, "No, you should only baptize in the name of the Father. No, you should only baptize in the name of the Son." And the Bible clearly tells you to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, period. That's the word. So what were they arguing about? And see, this is where the church can't win souls because they don't even know what they're talking about. And they argue among themselves. And the world doesn't want that. They already have all that chaos and uncertainty in their lives. Now Ezekiel 1:27 says, we're talking about the fire in the Bible. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was a radiance around him. This description shows that God consists of fire, his body is fire, and that is why fire is so important. That was Ezekiel 1:27-28, talks about how he saw God consumed with fire. Exodus 24:17, to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain, and that's what scared them, because it looked like a consuming fire. And Zechariah 13:8, in the whole land declares the Lord, I thought this was interesting, 2/3 will be struck down and perish, yet 1/3 will be left in it. This 1/3 I will put into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say they are my people, and they will say the Lord is our God. God's talking about the remnant church that he has. He said in Zechariah 13:8, in the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 will be struck down and perish, yet 1/3 will be left in it. This 1/3 I will put into the fire. How many of you know that God said, I put you through the furnace of affliction? And he said, and he does it many, many times, just not once. And he said, each time you came forth as pure shining gold, right? That fire will burn away every bit of shaft that's in you. And you will come forth as pure shining gold. And then God went on to say again, I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. How many of you who've been refined have been tested? You know, we're a remnant church, and God told us that when we first started. We're the remnant, one of the remnant churches, and we've been tested and tested and tested and tried and tried. So if you want to be a remnant person, then you have to quit complaining about the testing that you're going through. You have to quit complaining about going through the furnace of affliction so often, because every time you go, God burns out more chaff. He purifies you more and more and more, and he's making you just like Jesus. He's making you a vessel that can carry the glory as Jesus did. But see, we want to carry the glory in our messed up vessels. Isn't going to work. Never does, never has, never does, and never will. We have to be purified like pure gold. Your mind has to be purified. Everything about you has to be purified. And if you're really a remnant person and you've really been purified, if you mess up and get upset when you're supposed to be godly, you're going to go before God and say, God, please forgive me. You're going to go and repent. And then you're going to go to the person and say, I'm really sorry I acted like the world. I wish we could all immediately say, I'm so sorry. And really, really mean it. Just not put words on your lips and put them out there in the air, but you really, really mean it. You're sorry, God. I'm so sorry, God, that I have abused your vessel. I'm so sorry, God, that I didn't act like you want me to act in that situation. I'm so sorry, God, that I know you through and through, and I've been anointed, I've prophesied, I've laid hands on the sick, I helped do deliverances. But yet, whenever you gave me a sinner to minister to, I didn't bring them up to your level and went down to theirs. And I became just like them and gave you a black eye. I'm so sorry, Lord. And then see, you say that, then what you do is you never do it again. You stay right with God. And you every day you should be climbing that ladder, getting closer and closer to God. You know, when I was writing about the virgins and the oil, I thought about one time, I was really going through a really bad time in my marriage, and I stepped out on my, God said, I want you to go outside, and I stepped out on my porch from my office, and I was standing there, and there was dew all over the deck, and the dew on me, but everything else was dry, and I said, God, what's going on here? And he said, I brought the alabaster box to you, and I've dropped my oil on you. He said, I am covering you and I am with you. Don't be concerned about what others are doing or what's going on in your life. Just know that I love you. You know, he brought himself to me. And he put that oil on me. And he washed my feet. That's the kind of God that I serve. He didn't take the hurt away. He didn't stop the situation in my marriage. But he sure showed me how much he loved me. How about you? When you're in a hard time, does God come to you and does he bring his oil and anoint your head? Does he bring the alabaster box to you and wash your feet? If he doesn't, then you need to get a closer walk with Jesus. You need to spend more time in his presence. If you really, truly want to be used by God, you are going to suffer. You're going to go through things that you thought you would never, ever have to go through. But you know, everything God takes us through is for a purpose. Everything God's ever taken me through was so that I could help the world as it was coming up. When God first started taking me into the filth, show me what the filth that was going on in the churches and in the world, I was so shocked because I was a little country girl, didn't know all that junk. But see, I said, God, why are you making me see these things? He said, because this is the type of people that's going to be coming into my church, and you have to experience it so you can help them. Now, I didn't go into sin, but he allowed me to see all this sin, and he showed me how to work people through that sin. And some of it to me was very, very vulgar. And I had a hard time not judging the people. I really had to break that. You can't judge. If you're going to be God's child, you can't judge. You have to remember from whence you came. And even though I didn't come from that background, you still have to remember there's something you did wrong in your life. I don't care who you are. There's something you've done wrong. And you cannot judge. You just have to be full of the love of God and full of the fire of God. And just let the Holy Spirit do the works he wants to do. There's some of you in here tonight, you just really need to be baptized in that love of fire, the fire of love, whichever you want to put it, so that you can truly go forth. You know, if you really have that fire of love, when you go out there, you're not going to be consumed by the enemy. You're not going to be thrown off course by the things you see or hear. You're going to know who you are in Christ. And you're going to have the power and authority of Jesus. And you're just going to go ahead and let God use your vessel. Whatever way he wants to use it. All right? There's so many examples out there that God has. You know, Corrie Ten Boom wrote a book about it. And there's other people out there, you know, went through terrible, terrible things. And they loved God with all their heart. But they went through them. And they went through them without complaining. And their love for Christ that they poured out on the people that were abusing him changed people's lives. So where are you at tonight in your walk with God? Are you still concerned about what somebody's going to do to you, what they're going to say about you, whether they're going to try to take your anointing or whatever it is you're worried about? If you're worried about a bunch of junk like that, then you really need more of Jesus. You need to sit at his feet more often. And if God has called you to the prophetic word and said he's going to use you in the ministry, then you're going to have to empty out the self. You're going to have this fire in you so that wherever you go, God can use you for great miracles. Because that's what's going to happen. And I'm going to quit because I'm getting into my next message. God wants you all to know that he's in full and complete control of every part of your life, the crown of your head, the soles of your feet. He knows what's going to happen to you before you ever go into it. He knows how you're going to react to it before you even go into it. So he's not dumbfounded whenever you start acting stupid. He's already prepared a way to take you out of that mess or explain to you what you have to do in the mess. So tonight, as the altar is being opened up, I want each one of you to really want the fire of God to flow through you and out of you. I would really like for you to come to the altar.